we've done love one another. Last week was forgive one another. And this week we're talking about Paul's words to the church in Thessalonica, encourage one another. Now there's a reason we're talking about encouraging now rather than last week or the week before. It's because it follows on from what we've already heard. To encourage each other, we need to love each other, or we need to be striving to love each other, because that's an ongoing process. And it's also very hard to love and encourage people whom you might still hold a grudge against, people who you might still need to forgive. So today's talk should be taken in the context of the last 2 weeks. But we don't have to have everything sorted straight away. Loving each other is a process, and forgiving each other is a process. We need to keep working at it. We need to keep making the effort day after day to love each other. And we need to keep making the effort to forgive each other for the hurt that we might have had in the past. But we can work on encouraging each other too at the same time. I see loving each other as the what, and encouraging as one of the hows. We're striving to love each other as a church, and encouraging each other is one of the ways we can do that. We can show our love through encouragement. So let's get to our reading that Jess read for us. St. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. It's his first letter to them. Now, Paul set this church up himself when he was previously traveling in the region. But it's likely that he only spent about 3 weeks with them in total. And he ended up leaving quite abruptly because there was a lot of opposition to his evangelism. That means they're quite a young, new church. They're also in a region where people are of working class. There aren't very many nobles or rich people with slaves and houses, not many educated people. So they're likely to be working together in this fellowship rather than having one or two people leading them. However, Paul does seem to have set up leaders while he was there, but people have turned away from them or turning their backs on them. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians because he heard about them from a visit Timothy had. And while he'd been very encouraged to hear from Timothy about their faith and their love, there were some concerns. The main thrust of the letter seems to be to build up unity and family within the church in Thessalonica, which makes it very suiting that we're using it as part of our sermon series on pastoral care for our church. In the section that we read this morning, the church seems to have a specific issue with their eschatology. That's the branch of theology which is all about the end times, all about when Jesus returns as a judge and to set up a new heaven and a new earth that we're promised that he'll do again and again in the Bible, Old Testament and New. It seems that some of the Thessalonian Christians have died, and those left behind have been worrying about what will happen to those dead when Jesus comes back. Will they be left behind? Will they not be able to enter the New Jerusalem? Or will they come second? Will they be second-class citizens in the new kingdom of heaven? Now, it's a near certainty that Paul would have told them all about this when he was with them, even though it was only a short time. Because these very early Christians were expecting Jesus back in weeks and months, not decades or millennia. But his letter to them, in it, he doesn't rebuke them. Instead, he kindly and lovingly reminds them what he said will happen. At the end of chapter 4, just before our reading, Paul reminds them that those who have died in Christ will be raised by the trumpet call of God when he returns on the last day. And in our reading from chapter 5, he says of Jesus, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. And the crux of our reading today, that last verse that we read, says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you have been doing. So what can we learn about this reading about encouragement? How can we apply Paul's words to ourselves in our modern day church? Now, if our friends are specifically worried about what will happen when Jesus returns, it's obviously a directly relevant passage. But what about all the other issues we could be facing? Firstly, Paul dealt directly with the issue that the Thessalonians were dealing with. And his encouragement to them was to remind them of God's word. We should encourage each other with the scriptures, with God's truth. And that's just what Paul did. He didn't offer pleasant platitudes or glib untruths. Paul wrote the words of life to his friends in Thessalonica because he knew it was God's words, not his own, that they needed to hear. God's word, the Bible, is full of words of life, words that speak straight to our hearts. And it's also full of God's unwavering promises to us. What better words are there then when a friend is in need than the words of life in the Bible? Here, Paul wants the Thessalonians to encourage each other with what really will happen at the end of the age, rather than making something up themselves. And at the end of chapter 4, just before our reading, Paul says again they should encourage each other with these words, he says. With these words, he's just told them. He's not saying give each other general words of hollow encouragement, like you heard in our introduction to the theme today. He's saying specifically encourage each other with what I'm telling you now. Keep reminding each other of it. Our encouragement to each other should be God's wisdom from the Bible rather than man's foolishness. And if we want to see the damage that can be caused when we try and encourage each other with our own words rather than God's, we only have to look at the book of Job. Here, the man Job is suffering so deeply that his old friends, when they hear of his plight, journey long and far to travel and sit with him and encourage him. The thing is, all they say is from their own ideas and their own flawed understanding of what God is like and who he is. Job says to them, "You're miserable comforters, all of you." In writing about the book of Job, Nicky Gumbel, the pastor of HTB, says that it's chapter after chapter of false words and empty comfort. Comparing the speech of Job's friend to that of God when he appears at the end of the book, Nicky says, "It's such a relief when God speaks. The words of God are like manna from heaven, like water in a desert compared to the words of Job's friends." If we want our words to be similarly sustaining and refreshing like manna and water to our friends in church, we should speak God's words over them, not our own. Secondly, when writing to Thessalonians, that last verse of our reading, Paul says, "Encourage one another as you have been doing." And earlier he writes, "About brotherly love, we don't need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another." The picture painted of the church in Thessalonica isn't of a church on its knees. It's not of a church with a real issue with this. It's not in dire straits, but it's a church which is already loving each other, already caring and encouraging each other. But Paul says, keep on doing it. Keep on encouraging each other. Why? Because this Christian life can be really, really tough. Jesus didn't put it lightly. We encourage each other because these things are difficult. Following Jesus' path is difficult compared to following the wide road that leads to death. No matter how often we hear that we're completely forgiven, or that death isn't the end for our Christian brothers and sisters, or that God has plans to prosper us and not to harm us, when we're confronted with our own sin, or when we're grieving, or when life seems so difficult and you feel like you're in a dead end, we can forget these things. Or we ignore what God said. Or we're tricked by the enemy and we don't believe what God said. And we have to be encouraged again and again by God and by each other. Paul knew this because otherwise he wouldn't have said, encourage each other as you have been doing. If they only needed to hear it once, then that would have been enough. There would have been no need for encouragement. But we're called to be a community of believers together, mutually supporting each other and building each other up as we seek to live godly lives for Jesus. And to do that, we need each other's encouragements, not once, but again and again and again and again. So that's all nice and interesting to read about the book of Thessalonians. But how actually can we do this? What meaningful steps can we take to encourage each other like the Thessalonians did? What can you actually remember from this sermon that will change how you interact with your fellow Christians, with other people in this church? Thinking about this, I think there are three things that we need to do to encourage each other in a godly and uplifting way. We need to, one, take the Bible to heart. We need to take a look around us, and then we need to take a deep breath. So take it to heart. We need to take the Bible, God's word, to heart. How can we encourage each other with God's words if we don't know it for ourselves? Sadly, we don't all have an encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible like Gordon at the back does. He's fantastic during Bible studies. He always picks things out. That's why I've given you all a little head start. If you reach under your chair right now, you should find a piece of A4 paper blue tacked there. Some of you won't. It's about every other chair. And I wasn't expecting quite so many people at the front. So if you're at the front, you might need to go one row back to find one. But most of you should have one. And if not, there are ones at the back on chairs that aren't being used you can grab later. Can everyone see one? Just about. People are still looking. There is one for everyone. It's just hard to get enough for all the chairs, so they're a bit spread out. I didn't give these to you as you walked in because I didn't want them to be a distraction from what was going on in the service or from the sermon. But what I've done is I've written 10 biblical promises and encouragements on these sheets of paper for you to take home with you. They're to encourage each other with God's words. No, to encourage each other with God's words, we need to know God's word for ourselves. So I encourage you to keep this piece of paper, and after the service, we can make sure everyone has one, because there are enough for everyone. And put it in your wallet, your purse, your back pocket, and see if you can learn some of these verses yourselves. That way, you'll be able to remember them when times are difficult for you, and you'll be able to encourage other people with them. Pray to God that he writes his words on your heart, just as his name, your name, is written on his. Number two, take a look around. So let's say that you know some of these promises now. They're on the tip of your tongue and they're on your heart. That means you just need to find someone to share them with. To find out how, we need to really know each other. We need to take a look around, open our eyes, rather than looking inwardly, look outwardly. And we need to know each other well enough to see when someone needs encouragement. We need to keep our eyes open, keep looking around, so that we will see that person in need. But we also need to be willing ourselves to show others when we need encouragement. We need to be vulnerable and open with each other, otherwise we're never going to get anywhere. If you just say at coffee, oh, I'm fine, then no one's going to offer you words of encouragement because they think you're fine. We need to be open with each other. So pray that God opens our eyes for us. Pray that he shows us the people whom he's put in our path to help and to encourage. And number three, take a deep breath. Okay, so you have the words to say, and the Holy Spirit has shown you who you need to say them to. This is it then, it's the big moment. Try not to bottle it. Likely the hardest part of loving and encouraging each other is actually stepping out in faith and doing it. I think particularly for our closed British nature, I find it very hard to step out and talk to people about difficult things. But just like Peter the Apostle stepped out onto the water to walk with Jesus on the Lake of Galilee, we need to be willing to step out in love and faith and follow Jesus' lead to encourage people. Pray to God to give you the courage to take that deep breath when you see that need and to follow his lead. Now, I want to end today with another biblical example of encouragement. We've looked at Thessalonians, but I want to look at something else. Now, Kath, being a Cambridge theologian, and myself being nosy and interested in things, we sometimes end up in fairly theological discussions. One question that we thought of a bit is about Jesus appearing to the disciples after his resurrection. Okay. So Jesus died on Good Friday to take our sin, our wrongdoing, upon himself. And he paid the penalty for that sin, which was death. He had to do that so that we could have our sins forgiven and be in a relationship with him and with God the Father. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and defeated death itself. He had to do that to overcome death so that we could live with him and the Father in heaven for eternity. He had to do that. But then after he'd risen again, he didn't just go up to heaven. Instead, he spent 40 whole days on the earth appearing to his followers and his disciples. He didn't have to do that. Why did he? He'd already accomplished everything he'd set out to accomplish in coming to the earth. And he spent the last 3 years telling the disciples, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to die, and 3 days later I'm going to rise, and then I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you. He didn't need to stick around. They knew what was going to happen. So why did he? After preparing for today's sermon, I think the answer is pretty straightforward. It was to encourage them. After Jesus' death, the disciples were terrified and they scattered. They hid in the upper room of a house, fearful that the Jews would do to them what they'd done to Jesus. So they were hidden away. When they'd forgotten everything that Jesus had told them, when they were in dire need of encouragement, he appeared to them. And you know the first thing he said? Do not be afraid. Similarly, Jesus appeared to two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem just after his death. And although the disciples didn't recognize him, they were despondent and dejected. They believed that Jesus was the promised Savior, and they thought they'd been let down. So Jesus, as he walked with them, he spoke gently to them. And he explained from the very beginning of the Bible how the Savior had to die and rise again 3 days later. At the end of their journey, the two begged him to come and stay with them and have a meal with them. And when he broke the bread in front of their eyes were opened to them. And they saw their Savior Jesus standing before them. And then they were so excited, they ran back to Jerusalem in the middle of the night to tell everyone else of what they've seen and to tell them about how Jesus had appeared to them and how he had encouraged them with the words from the Bible. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, the mighty counselor, as we call him at Christmas, then you are very, very warmly welcomed, and we hope you join us again. Jesus, who is the Word of God, who is the great encourager. And so if you need encouragement this morning, myself, Louise, maybe a friend who's brought you, or pretty much anybody who you'll find sitting here, would love to pray with you to introduce you to him. Jesus, who speaks the words of life and who holds the keys to death itself. And if you're here like me and you already know Jesus, then I want you to encourage you to be more like him. Remember, like the church in Thessalonica, we're already loving each other. We're already doing this. This isn't a batter you down sermon. This is an encouragement sermon. We're already loving and encouraging each other, but it's something that we can still get better and better at. And it's encouragement particularly is something we can get more purposeful about. So I challenge you to take the Bible to heart, learn some key promises from the Bible, and take a look around you for someone who needs to hear God's words. Pray to the Holy Spirit that they reveal people to you. And then follow Jesus' lead and example. Take a deep breath and share the words with them that could be the breath of life to that person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the promises and the encouragement that we see in there. We thank you for everything that you've done for us through Jesus. And we thank you for everything that you say you're going to do for us in the future. Lord, help us cling on to your words of life and help us speak them over other people. Build us up in love and fellowship together, Lord. And I pray that you would encourage us to encourage others. Show us the people who need to hear your words, who need to hear friendly, loving words of encouragement today. Lord, build us more and more into a Christ-like church. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.